God speaks to his people. He has spoken to his people through a burning bush, through clouds, through storms, through a still small voice. But if you study the story of God carefully, you'll see that he has consistently and progressively been revealing himself, speaking to his people in many new ways. Here's an example in my own life. So, as many of you know, I began serving here back in 2016. I had no idea what I was doing, but God called me here, and so, okay, let's do it, God. And 6 years later, I'm a student at the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies, pursuing a doctoral degree in worship studies, and that's an amazing opportunity. It also comes with an amazing cost. And so between the tuition, between the meal fees, between the technology usage fees and all that sorts of stuff, and not to mention the travel, gas money or flights or rental cars, whatever it might be, it's quite an expense. And so for a few months, a couple years ago, you know, it was just feeling like, man, what am I doing here? And going through all this thing I'm doing this week after week for you, God, but like I'm not getting paid. And it's tough, and I'm trying not to, like, make it focus on the payment, but, like, there's also that aspect of, like, we need resources and those things. And at the exact right time, in the exact right way, God's people, the church, provided. And what you may not know, I'm so appreciative of that collection that you gave for me and my wife, my family. What you may not know is that the total amount raised was nearly identical to my expenses for that year's course that I took. Isn't that amazing? So God spoke to me through you, the church, saying, you're on the right path. I got you, Tim. Don't worry. I'm your provider. Have you had a similar experience? Raise your hand if you've gotten a timely gift or word of encouragement. Yeah? Raise your hand if you have reached out to believers for prayer and felt that burden lift as you've prayed. Yes? Yes, quite a few of you. Raise your hand if you felt that a sermon that the preacher was preaching was directly at you. I know I felt that way. Greg McLean did that to me so many times. Man, it's like, how does he know my life? So here's what we're learning today. God speaks to the church. And, as we'll see shortly, God speaks through the church. It's been part of our series, When God Speaks. And we've learned that God has been speaking through the Holy Spirit, through our circumstances, and now through the church. There are a number of illustrations in Scripture to describe the church, and that's what we're going to do first, is we're going to look at, if God speaks through the church, what exactly is the church? So we're going to turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. So Ephesians 1, verse 22. See if you can identify the core aspect of the church. Paul writes, "And God placed all things under his, as in Christ's, feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So did you catch it? God placed Christ as the head of the church, which is his body. The Greek word that is translated in church as church is ekklesia, and it means a gathering of citizens in a public place, in assembly. Now, there's nothing uniquely Christian about the word ekklesia. A public school could be considered an ekklesia. How many students do we have in here? Yeah, a few. Yeah. A Rotary Club could be considered an ekklesia. I spoke to quite a few of you earlier today. You were at the Night with David Jeremiah at the KeyBank Center on Friday night. That's an ekklesia, yes? The last rock concert you went to, that's an ekklesia. Now, if we were to break down that word, ekklesia, we find the term kaleo, which means to call, as in calling someone's name. and the preface ek, E-K, for out. So the ecclesia is called out. And we, as the ecclesia, are called out by God. Remember our series back in September on worship? Corporate worship is a gathering, and God gathers the assembly. God calls his people to him. So that's the difference between our ecclesia here and the various other ecclesia out there. Christ is at the head and center of it all. So let's back up a few verses from what we just read. We'll see exactly what that means, why it sets our ecclesia apart from any others. In the first section of Ephesians 1, Paul praises God for all the spiritual blessings we receive in Christ, from adoption to grace, redemption, forgiveness, how he has made known to us the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ. Amazing stuff. So Paul is so thankful for the church in Ephesus as he hears about their faith. He closes the chapter by praying for them. I'm backing up in Ephesians 1 to verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That is the sum of everything in this series. Why listen to God speak? So that you can know him better. I feel like the Christmas carol, the God of Christmas present. Come in and know me better, man, right? Some of you are like, what are you talking about? That's all right. When you know God better, your life changes for the better. How do I know that? I lived it. When you know him better, you start to love your neighbor as yourself, genuinely. When you know him better, you flee from sexual immorality. When you know him better, you live out Micah 6:8. You act justly. You love mercy. You walk humbly with God. When you know him better, you receive the Beatitudes. You hunger and thirst for righteousness. Continuing in verse 18, Paul prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all ruler and authority, power, dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And then, verse 22, God placed all things under whose feet? Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Paul is so excited about what being a follower of Jesus means for the individual, but also what it means as a corporate body in the church. He prays our hearts would be able to see the hope, the inheritance, the incomparably great power. It's the same power that was exerted in raising Christ from the dead, bringing him up to heaven, seating him at the right hand of God the Father. Christ is still there. Do you know that? He's still alive. He's above every ruler, president, leader, government, authority, far above any other name, now and forever. That's who the head of the church is. That is our leader. It's not a fickle celebrity who changes with the ebbs and flows of trends. It's not a self-interested politician who is susceptible to corruption and scandal. It's not an out-of-touch academic or theologian who loves doctrine more than he or she loves people. It's not John Horton. It's not Paul Gartley. It's Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, who defeated death and sin and now sits in the heavenly realms with everything under his feet. He is why we gather. He is the church. And as we know, the church is not a building. Although buildings can come in useful, right? Heat, yes. The church is not a social club, though we fellowship together. It's important. The church is not a political power. It transcends any human construct of government and will long outlive any nation, regime, or philosophy. There is hope in that fact. So long as we remain in Christ, it will never die. Christ is at its head, and he defeated death. That's the church. Now that we've clarified what the church is, let's discover how God speaks to and through the church. And it's summarized into this point. As the head of the church, Christ empowers the body to work interdependently to hear from God and to obey his word. There's a big word, interdependently. So let's break that down. In John 5, Jesus said he only does what the Father tells him to do. And the church operates in the same way, except now, instead of just working through one man, there are billions of us. Do you know there's 2.2 billion Christians in the world right now? Billions working interdependently across the world with Christ as our head. Interdependently does not mean independently. We're not on our own private islands, right? We cannot be independent followers of Christ. It's not possible. You may have heard the saying, I love Jesus, I just can't stand his followers. That's not biblical. That's heresy. As the body of Christ, we are called to set aside our differences, to work together to fulfill the mission of God. And if you're thinking that sounds impossible for 2.2 billion Christians to get along, it is. When we put ourselves as the head of the church. With Christ in charge and his Spirit coursing through the collective church's veins, it is absolutely possible to achieve unity. That's why Christ is the head of the church, not us. Now, I know you probably don't want to do this, but let's think back to when our church closed its doors in 2020. Now, prior to the pandemic, the only other time that this church closed was Snowvember back in 2014. Remember that? There are a lot of different opinions out there about how the Big C Church handled that, about how our church handled that time. And I'm not going to be a hindsight is 2020 or Monday morning quarterback person here. But I think it's worth reflecting on, as we look ahead to the future of our church, what that means and what we learned. I believe we learned in that time that there is just something unique about the physical nature of the church, the ecclesia. When we did eventually reopen our doors, we ended up recording services in Bayview for a while. And the thought process there was to make sure that everyone was comfortable with an in-person gathering. And if you weren't comfortable with that, we wanted to make sure you still felt connected to the body of Christ, to the church. But as time went on, we began to sense the Spirit's wisdom and conviction that we really weren't putting our best foot forward in responding to God's call as the ecclesia, the called out ones. Can't be called out if you stay at home. Now, there are certainly going to be times when you can't make it to church. We all understand that, right? For many reasons. But there's something special about being here in person, about hearing the body sing together, participating in the redemptive story of God, rhythmically stepping into the life of Christ through movement, sacrament, and prayer. And in my eyes, the Holy Spirit showed us that these elements can't quite be replicated via a live stream or a television program. At least not yet. Now, these things can be very beneficial, it's true, but the bodily gathering of Christ, I feel, keeps us from falling into the trap of knowing him just independently. Now, I also didn't say dependently. We don't depend on John Horton to give us the Word of God alone, yes? It's through Christ, right? We don't depend on David Jeremiah to be the leader of the church, yes? We depend on God speaking through those people. Now, this might surprise you, sarcasm here. Not everything said to you by a Christian is from God. Scroll through social media and you'll see what I mean. People can be wrong. They can be hurtful. They can be toxic. And although those harmful Christians tend to get our attention because it's provocative, right? They don't represent the majority of Christians worldwide. So our dependence is interlinked with the interdependence of the Trinity. If a brother or sister in Christ, including a pastor, speaks a word of God to you, it has to be affirmed for how God speaks through his people in the other ways, right? The Bible, the Holy Spirit, our circumstances, and by each one of us. So we are interlinked through the interdependence of the Trinity. What do I mean by that? Well, as a music teacher, I got to put my teacher hat on. And I've got to take you to what a musical chord really is. So let's just make sure that this is on. Hey, we can hear that. Technology, everybody. Music is so unique and so fascinating because it exists on a horizontal plane, right? And on a vertical plane, where sounds are happening either concurrently or separately. Think of a music chord. It sounds nice, right? It is made up of three different parts. This note, and this note. The three notes work interdependently to create a whole, what we call a triad. Now, isn't it interesting that God is a triune God? That there's a Father, that there's a Son, and there's a Holy Spirit, all working interdependently amongst one another? One body, one God, three separate parts, many parts, yes? Now, take away one of those. It's not quite the same as this, right? It's just, there's something missing, right? Or what about this? Not quite the same as this either. All three parts are working and have a role to play in sounding out that chord. And of course, there's all sorts of different other types of chords as well, but it's a picture of how God is a musical God who created a musical world filled with all sorts of musical people. Now, you might say, well, Tim, you haven't heard me sing. That's all right. Contrary to popular opinion, you do not have to match pitch to make it into heaven, to sing with the heavenly hosts. You can make a joyful noise, yes? There's a natural rhythm to who we are as human beings, even before we get to the pitch aspect. Breathe in, breathe out. Left foot, right foot. Day, night, hot, cold. There's a natural rhythm of the world, right? It's that interdependence of God's Trinity working together that relates to us as a church. So let's hear this from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. We're beginning in verse 18. He says this, "In fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." Even the people who can't match pitch, it's okay. "If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Do you notice the unity through diversity that's being presented by Paul here? Brings us to our third key point. The body of Christ uses different parts with different functions to create unity. True unity. What a beautiful illustration of the church as a functioning, interrelated, unified body working together for God's purpose. You want to understand the church and how God speaks through the church? Just think about your own body. Have you ever broken a bone or hurt your head or had a migraine or been sick with the flu or something like that? Is not your whole body affected by that? Wayne, is your shoulder also affecting the rest of your body? Sure is. Likewise, when a brother or sister in Christ is hurting, we hurt with them. There's grief in here today. There's pain in here today. And we grieve and we pain alongside those people. Now, we hurt with those abused in our churches. We pray for their healing. But we also celebrate together. We celebrate when we hear of the gospel spreading like wildfire through this church into places like Africa and Asia and South America. Next week, we're going to celebrate together when members of our body get baptized, when they profess that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life, and also with others who decide to share how God is working through their lives and testimony. It's unity through diversity, not forced, not coerced, true and everlasting unity. You know what unity brings? Maturity. Working together, empowered by Christ, resolving conflict, comprising preferences, praying for each other, sharing each other's burdens, celebrating each other's victories. That helps us mature. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." There's a, I was going to say a million, but there's not a million. There's hundreds of Christian denominations out there, right? It could be like, how are we all going to be unified? Through the Holy Spirit, through Christ as the head of the church. That's how. So here's a logical summary for you as we close. God speaks to the church. God calls us out as the ecclesia. Christ is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. One body, many parts. That means that God speaks to his people through us. He is speaking to the world through each one of us in this room. It's not just God speaking to us as a church, it's God speaking through us as a church. We are the body of Christ. And we gather in a way that no one else does, in a way no one else can, because Christ is our head. We also scatter as the body of Christ. We are sent to go out into the world, and God speaks through us to that world so desperately that he loves. Remember those examples we began with today when we raised our hands? Think about those experiences when we minister to others. God speaks through us when we are the ones who give timely words and encouragement. When we send those notes, those text messages, those calls to check in on someone, when we offer prayer, when we make meals and give of our time to generously for a person who needs support, it's done through us. We're not passive. Think of it this way. God is the author of his redemptive story, but he gives each one of us a pen to write that story. We're given a chance to be part of God's plan. Don't miss out by standing on the sideline. Josh Allen is coming back in, not because he just kind of like wants to make a paycheck, right? Because he wants to be in the game. Get in on the action. So every time that we hear the word of God proclaimed at Bayview Chapel, we allow for a time of response. And this is what I want you to consider. How are you going to be a conduit for God's word? This week, how can you be a message of God's word speaking through you? What can you do for someone who needs it? Which family member that you haven't reached out to in a while can you give a call and say, hey, just checking in, how are you? Which person that you know is grieving over loss can you bring a meal for just in support? Which person can you intercede for in your alone time, in your prayer time? What ministry can you be praying for or even getting in on in this church right now? Think of those things. Think of your personal life, how God has spoken to you, and how you can then reciprocate and speak to others through the power of our triune God. Let's take a few moments and respond together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you speak to us. Thank you for this series, God, where we've learned how to perceive and detect your voice. Lord, we give you all the praise for the ways that you are moving in this world, a world of brokenness, a world of heartache, a world of grief and troubles. We're in a time in between, God, and we know that you are still working in that midst. And so we're so thankful for that. God, I pray for each person here as they reflect. We know that a good sermon is made by the response to that sermon. We hope that people respond to your word, reaching out to people in new ways, checking in on people, writing notes of encouragement, sending emails to coworkers that are just positive in nature, helping a student with their book bags or with their schedule, praying for and with someone who really needs it. Just pray that those ways become clear to all of us who are reflecting on that. Speak clearly to us, God. We need that clarity sometimes. And may it just be a small part for us to play in your grand redemptive plan to bring this world into a better and more positive state. There's a lot going on in the news. There's a lot going on in the world, and we just want to rest in you. So we thank you for these moments that we can pray and that we can hear from you. Give us the inspiration now to respond. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.